Let's just pray before we get to thinking about all this. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you tell us what we need to know. And it's very apparent as we read your word that we do need to know that Jesus is coming again and to be prepared for that. There will be this time, this moment, and for many it seems it'll be unexpected. Please, this morning, will you slap us out of the Christmas conveyor belt and help us to think afresh about these massive things that face us as human beings living in this world with a God like you to answer to. Please help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've seen, we're all very much into this Advent season. We're counting down to Christmas. We're opening the doors on the Advent calendars. We're lighting the Advent candles. And when we talk about this Advent thing, we're talking about preparing for the coming of Christ, which is a bit weird, as we've perhaps already worked out, because he's already come. We talk about preparing for his coming, but he's already come 2,000 years ago. That's what all the fuss is about at Christmas time. Not that he's coming, but that he already came. And so what should we do in the light of that? Well, perhaps think differently about it. Perhaps in this time of Advent where we're preparing to celebrate that Christ did come, perhaps we need to celebrate slightly differently. Because we are doing that, aren't we? We're celebrating that Christ did come. Our minds are into the Christmas mode. We've got lots of stuff to do. We've got things to arrange. We've got the decorations. Hopefully they're all put up. We've got the food, the presents, and all that sort of stuff. Doesn't always really excite us, though, does it? In fact, it is that conveyor belt so often. Oh, what shall I get for so-and-so in the family? It's a real pain to get a present for. That sort of thing. Now, we could do that sort of thing. We could just say we're preparing to celebrate that Christ did come. That's what most people do in Advent. We could do that. But if we do that, we miss something. And we miss something not just that we don't want to miss, if we understand what it is, but that we can't afford to miss. We absolutely cannot afford to miss the importance of this thing. Because if we did miss it, we would be missing something that the New Testament definitely doesn't want us to miss. All the writers there, Jesus included, go on and on and on about it. On average, every 13 verses, something like that, throughout the New Testament, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned or alluded to. You can't miss it if you read through the New Testament. And so this Advent thing isn't some looking back thing or even looking forward just to December the 25th. It's a much more alive thing than that, a much more important thing than that. Because we are still preparing for the coming of Christ, but not his first coming, obviously. And not just Christmas to celebrate his first coming, but we're preparing for his second coming. Hebrews chapter 9. You might want to turn this up, actually, in your Bibles, because we'll be sort of referring to this a fair bit. Hebrews chapter 9. Someone's got a page number from the blue Bibles. Might want to yell that out. 1190 in the blue Bibles. But now Christ has appeared. Hebrews 9 verse 26. But now Christ has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin, by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. And he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. It's talking about Advent. And you got the first coming in there. You saw that loud and clear. But there's this second coming. No longer to bear sin. He's done that on the cross. But now, to bring that salvation. It's a time then to look forward. And we talk quite a lot about things we're looking forward to, don't we? There are so many nice things in our lives after all. And Christmas is usually one of them. And remembering the Christmas story for us Christians is also one of those things. But here's the question this morning that I want to ask. And it's a challenging question. I wonder whether you can say that you're also looking forward to Christ's second coming. Are you looking forward to Christ coming again? In fact, I wonder whether we can say we're looking forward to it more than anything else, or maybe less than something else. See, that's the challenge of Advent. If you're not looking forward to Christ bringing salvation when he comes again, there are some serious problems for you to face. And it's a challenge to us all. So, the first thing this morning. We're already there. Yeah, that's the first thing. Have you really understood Christ's first coming? Have you really understood it? Christmas time, yeah, we do all this stuff, but have you really understood it? The real Christmas message, 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to make my life better? Well, yeah, maybe. To give Christmas card designers a nice scene to paint and make lots of lovely advent calendars? Not really. To make it possible for us to live here and now the way we are forever? No. But the way we talk and act sometimes, anyone would think exactly those things. 1 Timothy 1:15, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what Paul says there, and then he adds, of whom I'm the worst. And you and I are all sinners. And the Bible's very clear. The wages of sin is death, Romans 3, verse 23. And we're very high earners. The only currency we have is death. We've earned it. We've been properly remunerated. We get what we deserve, and we can't do anything different. We can't earn something different. That's what we do every day of our lives. We earn our wages. And that is why Jesus came, because we are sinners, to save us. Hebrews 9, verse 26, it's there. Jesus came to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 28, Christ was sacrificed to take away the sins of many. He was born to die. Christmas is about a Saviour, God, born as a man. Hebrews goes on elsewhere in the book. You don't have to turn to it. In fact, I'm not even going to tell you where it's from. You can look for it yourself. But it tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way, just as we are. He went through what we go through, but he was without sin. It says, because we are flesh and blood in our humanity, Jesus too shared in our humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free them who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. It's what Jesus came to do. It's why he did it the way he did it, to save us. Now, you could picture a person having a heart attack and the paramedics have turned up. Her condition is fatal without the right diagnosis and treatment.
And why have the paramedics come?
Why have they come?
Now, if you get the wrong answer to that question, she's a goner.
Have they come to make her feel comfortable?
Well, it's one way of putting it. It's not entirely. It's not like cushion under the head. They're there.
Have they come to numb her pain? Have they come to pump her full of morphine and give her as comfortable a death as possible?
Have they come to do that? You'd hope not.
Have they come just to hold her hand?
No. Now, they may do all of those things to some extent. But you want them to have come with one thing on their minds, don't you?
That one thing is to try and save her life. She doesn't need painkillers. They might be helpful, but she doesn't need them. She needs defibrillation. She might need those paddle things. She might need CPR, whatever. She needs adrenaline and all that stuff. Why? To deal with this problem. Get the heart sorted. To save her life.
Why did Jesus come? Get the answer to that question wrong, and you're more stuffed than she could ever be.
Jesus came to save you, to save me,
because you're a sinner
and because I'm a sinner. And why should you believe this?
Well, because he did come. We've read his words, actually. He came.
He was promised long beforehand, thousands of years beforehand, it was said he would come. He was promised in detail.
You read Isaiah 52 and 53 and you see this scene of someone who's in excruciating agony. And this description of this servant, this person is called.
It's a picture of Christ.
It's Christ on the cross, bearing sin.
Amazing. These promises, these people that those promises were spoken to knew that they were to expect him, but do you know what? They still missed him.
And one of the reasons they missed him that first time was because they underestimated their own need. And they replaced this need thing that they had with what they wanted. They wanted a king. They wanted someone to kick the Romans out. They wanted this glorious conqueror. And they got this pathetic or quiet or just always does the thing you didn't expect him to do. I mean, there's some pretty good tricks in there as well. But boy, we wanted someone who was a bit more showy.
They missed him so badly, they ended up killing him. But as I've already said, even that was promised hundreds of years before. So the question is, have you understood his first coming?
Have you understood that?
Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners.
Paul could say, of whom I'm the worst.
I don't think we'd be too far behind. Because the thing is, right, if you haven't understood his first coming,
and this is the Advent challenge, right? Go for it, Jim. If you haven't really understood Christ's first coming, you will not look forward to his second coming. You won't.
We tend to think of death as final, as ultimate. We tend to reflect on the life that was lived instead of what's next.
Just in our society and in our culture, that's what we do.
Hebrews is clear. Hebrews 9 is clear.
Death is not the end at all.
Not for you.
Not for me. What does it say there? Man, humanity, that is, verse 27, is destined to die once, and then the judgment. See, there's something else, this judgment thing. You could call it, in the language of Romans 6, payday. The wages of sin is death, remember? It's payday. And you might say, oh, but if you've died, then you've already been paid. You've died. The wages of sin is death. You've died. But here's the thing, that only works if death means merely the end of your earthly life. And God has a much bigger idea of death than that. God is the giver of all life. He's the one in whom there is life at all. And in Romans 6:23, there is this contrast, isn't there, between what your wages earn you, the wages of sin is death, and what God can give you as a gift, which is eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so it seems that death here is much more than merely the end of yours or my earthly existence. Now, there's loads of other places we could go to establish that, but we've got to know that the Bible holds this bigger view of death. Eternity is in view. Good eternity or bad eternity? Glorious or fearsome and fearful? And this thing, this judgment thing, is where it's decided, and you're going to be there, and so am I. Because your death isn't the end, your death just gets you to that point. Now, again, how can we be confident of that? Well, a couple of reasons, really. At least this, simply because of Jesus. His death wasn't the end of him. The New Testament records it in the Gospels and throughout the New Testament. That he rose again and that he promised to return. In Hebrews, we have it there in verse 28. Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time. He's not dead, even though he died. He died once. He was sacrificed. He will appear a second time at the judgment. But him not to be judged, him to be the judge. Now, where are we going with this? Well, we're saying if you haven't understood his first coming, you won't look forward to his second coming. Why? Because verse 28 goes on, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. To bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. To understand his first coming, you have to know that you're a sinner and that Christ came to save sinners, to bear sin in his death on the cross. That's his first coming. The point of his second coming is to bring salvation to all those who are waiting for him. And who are waiting for him? Those sinners who understood his first coming. Sinners who have been saved from this fearful expectation of the wages that we're earning every day. Sinners who instead have been now forgiven and then been given the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord, which Jesus incidentally paid for in our place on the cross. And they will enjoy that gift forever when Jesus comes again. Now that is why they are looking forward to his second coming. Now, here's the challenges. As we go through Advent again, find ourselves in that time of year. Here's the thing. Are you, I think we've got another slide, have we? There you go. Are you prepared? So are you prepared for the coming of Christ? This is the big getting under your skin question, right? Is his second coming something not that you just know the Bible says is going to happen? Is it what you're longing for? Are you longing for Christ to come back again? That you can't wait for it? That you're like the kid with the Advent calendar? Oh, it's coming closer, it's coming closer, I can't wait. We don't know when he'll come again, but we know at least that one day is a day nearer. One day gone is another day nearer to when he comes back. And just as his first coming was promised, and it's all there through Scripture, and then he came, and then we see of his second coming, it's promised, 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 talked about every 13 verses on average in the New Testament. And it's going to come again. There's going to be that time. It's been amply promised. And that reading from Matthew was very confronting, wasn't it? Be prepared. You don't know when the Son of Man is coming back. Why might you not be prepared? Let me just think that through for a moment. You might not be prepared because simply you don't know Christ as your Saviour. That is ultimate unpreparedness. That is not understanding the first coming of Christ. That is when Jesus came to bear sin. But if you haven't understood it, if he's not your Saviour, he hasn't borne your sin and you've got to pay for it yourself. So you be unprepared if you don't know Christ as Saviour. You can only expect him as judge. It's a fearful thing. And it leads to the worst possible eternity, which the Bible calls hell. And Jesus talks about it at the end of that reading. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he's not aware of. He will cut him to pieces, assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus spoke about hell more than anyone. Doesn't want you to go there. Died on a cross so you don't have to. You might be unprepared if you haven't really understood your own sinfulness. And now I'm talking to Christians now, people who know Jesus has died for them, but they've lost sight of the cost, of what it cost to purchase their salvation. Therefore, if you haven't really got to grips, become more aware of your own sinfulness, your salvation isn't really that big a deal. There's apathy in your life. You're going through the motions. It's like the Christian insurance policy, a bit of paperwork that's tucked away for that time when whoosh, out it comes. No, I'm good. I've got the policy. And it's made no difference to life. Jesus encountered someone who was a real sinner. And after she'd been dealt with by him with grace and love and all the rest of it, he said, those who have been forgiven much, love much. And the opposite is true. Those who have been forgiven little, love little. And so, this understanding of what Jesus has done in the past, how much of a difference does it make to your life or anyone else's for that matter? Are you prepared for the coming of Christ? You might not be prepared if also you love this world and this life and these things and these opportunities that we have and this leisure and this beautifulness. And we love all of that so much that we can't bear to see it go. We need to read Revelation 21. We need to know that Jesus one day is going to say, this is the old order of things, and it's filled with pain and hurtful things. And tears. There's some tears. But he's going to wipe away every tear from his children's eyes and usher in the new heavens and the new earth. And as good as this can possibly be, and it can be pretty good at times, it won't be anything compared to that. And Jesus will show us around it. Jesus will be there, one who loved us to the very end. But do you love this world and this life and these things and this stuff and all the rest of it? So much so that you can't bear to let it go. That's unprepared. What do those who are prepared look like? Well, they can't wait for Jesus to come back again. They say, along with that final bit of Revelation, come, Lord Jesus. They see the news and they say, come, Lord Jesus, sort this world out, please. Take all this rubbish stuff away. If it grieves us, how much more does it grieve our Lord? The only reason they don't want Jesus to come back is so that others can be saved, which is what God himself says about why he hasn't wrapped things up yet. They long for others to know what they know. And they can't wait to see Jesus. And in the meantime, before he comes, they love to serve him. They love to serve him. Serve him in his mission. Spread the word. Get rid of the carols fly. I don't know. Whatever you want to do. They love to serve. It's a real challenge, isn't it? It's a real challenge. Wanting others to be saved, can't wait to see Jesus, love to serve Jesus, appalled at the sin and fallenness of this world, ever seeing more areas in their even their own lives where there's sin, and ever more reasons to look at the cross. And so there it is. Really? Have you understood the first coming of Christ? If you haven't, and that could be all of us in here to some extent, we'll not look forward to the second coming of Christ. And if we're not looking forward to the second coming of Christ, something is very wrong. That's the challenge of Advent. Let's lift our heads from perhaps sad self-reflection and see the cross of Christ. That's where he wants us to look. That's where you get a joyful expectation of a glorious future. That's where you find forgiveness. That's where you find God's grace. That's where you find strength to carry on. That's where you can leave all the rubbish and go out serving the Lord as his child. Pray. Father, we want to thank you for your grace. We want to thank you that you haven't given us what we deserve, the wages that we've earned. But rather you offer us the gift of eternal life in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you that the Lord Jesus came into this world to save sinners, to save us. And we are sorry
if we have missed that or diluted that or minimized that. Please, please will you help us to repent? Please bring us to the cross that we might have our heads lifted again to see your glory and your grace, and to see everything that you have secured for your children, even this glorious future, and to live in the light of the second coming, that we can be urgent and passionate, not idle, not apathetic, not fearful, but trusting as your dependent children. Please, we ask that you make it clear to us where we stand. And please, will you do all that's necessary that we might be fully assured that we stand in your grace because of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask. Amen. We're going to come to a time of prayer now. I'm just going to go and get the kids in. Taste of carol service coming up. Thank you, Lord, for this. Can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's our joy to honour you. Lord, it is amazing, it's incredible that you would send your Son, Jesus, to come and die for us sinners, people who have no right or no ability to save ourselves, as Graham preached about too, Lord. It's an incredible gift. And Lord, just please help us not to ever take it for granted. Lord, I pray that you'll just remind us every day of the incredible sacrifice that was. Lord, I pray now that as we share this time together in prayer, that you'll hear our voices as we bring the things that are on our hearts to you.